fields that's for sale. And on that parcel, if somebody wanted to build a housing development, they can put five homes according to the current code. They try to get more. D.H. Horton has been fighting to try to allow more. They tried to get 85, and the county commission said no, and they were sued for that. But now they apply for Live Local, and under Live Local, they want to put 864 apartments. And, you know, structures that's going to be maybe 6 feet tall. I mean, six stories.
Yeah, tall. Six stories.
So you could see the impact Live Local can have. And now there are 18 applications that is going to go. Well, I can't say they go forward yet because there are lawsuits against the county commission for this and not letting that go forward.
So I'm going to jump in because it's what people, you know, the way Live Local is framed is we need affordable housing. There's too much not in my backyard NIMBYism. We need a law so that we can build, and as long as a proportion of the housing is affordable, then you qualify for Live Local. The reality, though, is that the definition of affordability really isn't affordable. Mm-hmm. It's more mid-market, which is 120% of the average median income level. So we're not talking about homes where somebody working, you know, at a 7-Eleven can afford. We're not talking, and we need homes for people of modest means. So the affordability piece is not, it's not really what most people would think of as affordable. And the other issue is, when Tallahassee dictates what's going to happen with development, what they're also dictating is local infrastructure spending. And they're not giving the money for that. It's an unfunded mandate from Tallahassee. And why are they doing that? Because they are funded, they are bought by big developers. I mean, Pat Neal's donations don't just go to local races, they also go to state races. And Mr. Neal learned this because he was a state representative, right? I mean, this is somebody who understands and shaped the politics of Florida. And, you know, he's not the only one, but he's the local person. So nobody's using that word unfunded mandates, that term, but that's what this is.
That's true. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Tallahassee has been taking away local government control, even on the fact that we can't even increase impact fees for new development, because Tallahassee years ago restricted how much the county can charge developers for the impacts to our local roads, schools, et cetera. And so a lot of the problems we're seeing today, besides traffic, but also the budget issues, has to go back to what Tallahassee has been doing to us.
And they've been doing this. So I want to, everybody, there is an excellent article in the Suncoast Searchlight news. So if you go to suncoastsearchlight.org, and this is a nonprofit news organization. It's funded by the Baranczyk Foundation. Their focus is investigative local reporting. And they have a great article out called Suncoast Lawmakers Hollowed Out Home Rule. Do voters care? So, you know, a lot of times we're just focused on putting out fires, you know, what's going on locally. And we may not be able to pull back and see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture that's been happening in the state of Florida is that since DeSantis took office, Tallahassee has been systematically kneecapping, really, home rule. We are a home rule county. We have a county charter, 66 counties in Florida. I think there's a bunch of them with county charters. Manatee County doesn't have a county charter. Right. But either way, the mandates, the authority of local government are being usurped, are being kneecapped by Tallahassee. And this article says there are 50 votes that happened in the state legislature that our Manatee and Sarasota County representatives, practically without exception, I mean, the exceptions are like the person was absent for the vote. They have voted for these taking away local government authority every single time. You know, the Live Local Act is an example. SB 180, which makes
another.
SB 180 is another big one that post-hurricane recovery, the local governments are not allowed to require anything different than was required before the hurricane. And the amount of land that is impacted, the way they defined the land that's impacted by this, is way out of proportion. Campaign finance rules. We had a rule in Sarasota County that you can only give $200 to a campaign if you're a business or if you're a person. In the city of Sarasota, you can only give to a campaign if you're a person. Businesses can't give. All that was wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
All that was wiped out by the state legislature when they preempted the local constitutions, and they said, no, you're going to go by the state law now, which is $1,000. That's the limit.
Right.
And all it does is facilitate those with a lot of money, you know, those who have the gold, get to make the rules. And Tallahassee has been doing this. So the Live Local Act, we need people in those chairs who aren't going to be like little lemmings following this Tallahassee agenda. Basically, they're centralizing power. That's how I look at it.
I agree. I think the last portion of that. So they're taking away our ability to charge the right fees. They're taking away our ability to handle our land use, you know, development regulations. And there was one last year that almost happened, where because our charter says that you need a supermajority vote to change our comprehensive plan growth laws. And they almost removed that last year. So it's only going to get worse, I believe. And then, of course, the last straw is, okay, let's now take away the money. That's the property tax thing. Mm-hmm. So they have been systematically trying to really make everything come through Tallahassee. And if you really had issues trying to talk to the local government, you can only imagine what's going to happen if Tallahassee has control of everything, including our purse strings.
Yeah. And this is, I think, so completely not what the historically, or at least in my lifetime, in our lifetime, the Republican Party has always claimed to want. The power to be closest to the people.
That's the same.
Yeah. In the state of Florida, they have completely turned their back on those values. And getting back to the unfunded mandate, when Tallahassee is dictating that local governments have to say yes to all kinds of development projects, they don't have a right to enforce their own rules, right? Local governments are being told you can't enforce your own rules. School boards are being told that if you don't say yes to a charter school, that charter school can appeal it to the state board, which is, you know, has been run by people who are executives for corporate charter schools. I mean, Manny Diaz. So again, these are unfunded mandates because taxpayer dollars have to pay, local taxpayer dollars have to pay for the infrastructure. We have to deal with the traffic. We have to deal with whether these charter schools actually perform or not. And there's no evidence that they actually perform any better. And the best evidence I've seen is they perform worse. So things are coming to a head, and this, let's talk about the property tax amendment in the state legislature that they put out to be on our ballots in November. Tallahassee is going so far now that they want to remove or hobble the funding source for local government. I mean, what can you do for public safety on a local level? What can you do for education? What can you do for local infrastructure if you're not going to have revenue?
You know, and I think it's such a scam. This is a scheme to scam the taxpayers. Yeah. I have always opposed excessive taxes. I mean, I came from Connecticut. You know, Connecticut was such a high tax state. That's why I am so adamant for lower taxes. However, I know a scheme and a scam when I see one. And I think in the long run, we'll be paying more. So right now, we have a homestead, because they're particularly targeting homesteads, right? Yeah. So we have a homestead law that says that your property cannot go more than 3% increase in value before it being taxed once you're homesteaded every year. Well, yeah. They're removing that homestead cap, in my opinion.
If this amendment passes.
If it passes, this is true. Yeah. But we have to pay for the law enforcement, for the roads, and for everything else. So I fully expect new fees that won't have that cap to be implemented. Yeah. And then we'll be paying more in the future than we are paying now. And that's why I think that's the whole point. Let's get rid of the cap by getting rid of that Save Our Homes homestead provision. But you'll know somewhere along the line there are going to be new fees, and there's going to be a cry for new roads, and there are going to be new taxes.
Yeah.
Just like we see our water bill tripling over the past few years, we're going to see that we're going to be paying a lot more in the long run than we are paying today.
Yeah. I mean, there's no free lunch, right?
No.
We need roads, we need streetlights, we need police, we need schools. These things all need to be funded. And the role of government is to efficiently organize the community and provide these services. And the most efficient level of government, I think, is local, is where they're close to the decision making. What I've seen as an overall trend, what's really going on, right? Well, with corporate charter schools, it's about privatization. It's about profit, because when you've got charter schools, they set up a separate real estate corporation to build the school. They have the nonprofit that runs the school. And then that nonprofit, so to speak, real estate corporation gouges the school corporation, charging up to 40% of the school board budget for rent. Okay. And then those leases are bundled and sold as investment instruments on Wall Street. So Wall Street wants a guaranteed rate of return. One of the best ways to do that is to get their fingers into local government budgets. Prisons is another example. The privatization of prisons has been very profitable for private sector firms that have specialized in this. What I see Tallahassee doing is trying to do more profit grab, more money grabbing. Because to your point, Lourdes, this money, you're going to have to pay in this, at least, you know, with property taxes, your neighbor, Jen Ahern Koch or Tom Knight or Joan Under, they're the ones watching the store on the money. Do you really want Tallahassee doing that? Because I can tell you right now, there's no way they're going to be as efficient as your neighbors making decisions.
I want to remind everybody what happened when Tallahassee decided that they did not want artwork on our sidewalks, right? The Tallahassee said, we don't want artwork in any sidewalk. We don't care where it is and what it says. And state government, FDOT, said, if you don't take away that artwork, we won't give you money for roads. We will take away your funding. So imagine.
Yeah.
Now they have control over all our services in Tallahassee. And if we don't be good girls and boys and listening to Big mm-hmm. Brother up there, mm-hmm. then they might just withhold money from us. And that's
going to put us right. They already have.
Yeah.
To your point.
Yeah, it's awful.
And Manatee County not getting some funding because, oh my gosh, the voters didn't pick what, you know, they didn't mm-hmm. pick the Anthony Pettuccini candidate. They didn't right. pick the, you know, the candidate that was funded by PAC money. So this is quite serious. And it, you know, you got to know whether it's a mailer or a constitutional amendment. These are professionally packaged, you know, efforts. They look good. They sound good. They're, you know, spokespeople are dressed in a nice suit, all of that. So this amendment, you called it Save Our Homes. There's a lawsuit because you have to be clear about what an amendment really means. And this lawsuit contends this is a misleading name. It's not about saving our homes. That's not the issue. It's about consolidating, grabbing power and money at the state level. So when you read this constitutional amendment, if you're one of those voters who goes into the booth and doesn't educate yourself ahead of time, which is why I have this show, please don't do that. I've been guilty of it in the past. I understand it, but please don't do that. This amendment sounds good, but its ramifications are very serious. You know, I was talking with my cousin Tino last night about it, and he was saying how many bonds, local bonds, are funded by property taxes. And if this amendment passes, those municipal bonds become at risk because the funding mechanism to pay those bonds is now, you know, half or even less of what it would have been. And there goes your AAA rating if you're a city or a county. Like, the massive implications of what they're doing or what they want to do to our property taxes, there's so much that this impacts. And I think it's very foolish to be turning our power over to Tallahassee.
I agree. I mean, I completely understand where people say, hey, let's cut back on our spending. I think there's some frivolous spending out there, like the boathouse in Nathan Benderson Park. Get rid of it. We don't need it. We shouldn't be paying for it. So those things I understand. Mm-hmm. But I really think that people have to be really smart about what is actually happening here. You know, it sounds good. Oh, I'll save money. But in reality, I think you won't in the long run.
Yeah. What other races do you have your eye on locally?
Oh, besides, I mean, I've been focusing a lot of my attention on the county commission
sure.
races because that's what impacts us the most. I think most people would agree with that. But mm-hmm. I think we have to pay attention to what's happening in the state house and
yeah.
the Senate. It's been not easy to find candidates. You're like, okay, gung-ho about like I am with the county commission because mm-hmm. to me, so that was so clear. So I think those are the ones we have to start paying attention to. And I'm doing still a lot of back and forth on how I stand on that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because one thing I think people may not realize, let's get back to this. August is basically the election for county commissioners. This is a majority Republican county. And I think 10 years ago, I wrote a column about how it had been 50 years of Republicans in the county commission, right? So that the Republican primary in August for the county commission seats is basically the election, because in November, it's just been really tough for any other party candidate to win. I mean, I was an independent. I was one of them. participating in August is it matters.
I am so sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. But
Mark Smith's and race is universal.
Really?
It's a universal primary because there was a Democrat who filed, but then he withdrew.
Okay.
And so now both in District 2 for County Commission, and I think District 1 and Charter Review Board are both universal. So Republicans, Democrats, Independents have the ability to vote for a county commission this August. Yeah. And like you said, whoever wins that, since there is no Democrat opponent, there will not be a November election for District 2. This will be decided on August 18th.
Okay. So, So thank you for that clarification. I did not realize the Democrat withdrew. So this is going to be really important. School board races are nonpartisan. Right. Our city of Sarasota races are nonpartisan. There are going to be very important elections that will be decided in August. So regardless of your party affiliation, please register. Please make sure your registration is current and participate. It's the August 18th election. You can go to sarasotavotes.org or .gov. Sarasotavotes.gov. to check your registration and gear up, you know, take a look at the list of candidates. I think they should send you a sample ballot, or I believe you can print one out so you can see which races you can vote on. And research these people ahead of time. Don't let your vote be bought by these mailers, please, you know.
And don't be lazy and just pick the first one in every race too, because you might be picking the developer candidate, you know, be really careful.
We're at a critical time in the state of Florida.
We are.
And it's going to be really important for the voters to understand the agenda that's at work. And I think some of these people, if you meet them on the street, your state legislatures, they're very lovely. They'll smile at you. It's not like they've done everything bad. You know, they've done some good things, but they have sold us out every single time when it comes to home rule. They have voted with the DeSantis agenda. They have voted to consolidate power with the state. They have not respected our local constitutions. So bear that in mind. Please bear that in mind. And choose your candidates wisely. Lourdes, you have a blog about Siesta Key. How can people find out more about your work?
Yes, if they go to protectsiestakey.org, we have an elections page. Again, we're focused on county commission because that's who we communicate with, and that's what impacts Siesta Key the most. And so you can go on the protectsiestakey.org website and you'll see an elections page and you can do some research there.
Awesome. Lourdes, the hour flies by. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. Everybody, you've been listening to The Detail on WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. Be sure to stay tuned for more public affairs programming here on WSLR. Make it a great day.
Looking for an affordable, creative, and comfortable venue for your next meeting, celebration, or networking event? Host it at Fogartyville. During the month of June, Sarasota's favorite listening room is undergoing major renovations to meet the needs of our community. It will reopen in mid-July with new bathrooms, new air conditioning, new tables and chairs, improved flooring, state-of-the-art audiovisual equipment, and more. For more information about rentals and to schedule a tour of Fogartyville, call 941-894-6469 and ask for Susan. Your event, our space. Hosted at Fogartyville.
For Togertyville presents the Will Johns Band, Saturday, August 22nd at 8 p.m. Accomplished British blues artist Will Johns masterfully captures a passionate blend of classic and modern blues rock in the studio and live on stage. His musical legacy runs deep. Son of producer Andy Johns and nephew of famed producer Glenn Johns, part of a family entwined with the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and Eric Clapton. Tickets are $25 for members, $30 for not yet members, and $15 for students age 13 and up. Don't miss the Will Johns Band, Saturday, August 22nd at 8 p.m. More information at WSLR.org or by calling 941-894-6469.
Hey, I'm Andy Franklin. On the next Backbeat, what do the Allman Brothers, Elvis Presley, Eric Clapton, Led Zeppelin, and the Rolling Stones have in common? Well, they and so many others loved the songs of Willie Dixon. So did Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf, for that matter. We showcase Willie Dixon on The Backbeat, Thursday evening at 7, right here on WSLR.
My baby, don't stand no cheating, my baby.
The Florida Division of Emergency Management and Sarasota County encourage you to begin home and business preparations now for any potential storms that may impact Florida during hurricane season. Hurricane season begins June 1st. Be prepared to create an evacuation plan, a communications plan, and a disaster kit that fits the specific needs of your household, including your pets. For more information and tips on hurricane preparedness, visit scgov.net/beprepared.
Rally round.